often depicted in popular culture wearing Qin Dynasty traditional robes with long nails and fang teeth. These hopping corpses with outstretched arms are hungry for the qi, or vital energy of the living. With a name that literally means stiff or rigid corpse, tales of the Chinese Shangxi and Gongxi go back centuries. They are physical, tangible, and belong to the material world. They rely on smell and sound to locate their victims, having lost their eyesight and ability to speak. They cannot bend their limbs, so their movements are stiff and mechanical. Changxi are required to continue to feed on qi to maintain their undead status, but are fully unconscious of their actions. While many horror fans and enterprising marketing agencies alike identify these monsters as vampires or zombies, they are in fact neither. While the Changxi may share similarities with both these undead beings and even adopted some of their characteristics over time, they are uniquely tied to Chinese tradition and occupy an undead space all their own. I'm Dr. Emily Zarka, and this is Monstrum. Technically, Shangqi are a type of ghost. In Chinese folklore, ghosts can appear in physical form, but these spirits are often motivated by something more than hunger. They retain human consciousness and intelligence, something the Shangqi do not have. They are also different because of their grotesque appearance. They may be covered in long white hair or have black, green, or purple-colored skin. They are thin but possess protruding stomachs, likely a reference to the gases produced during decay. They may have bad breath or blood pouring from their eyes. But in the earliest Chinese texts, Shangxi merely denotes an inanimate, exposed dead body, a stiff corpse. In a few of these texts, the Shangxi were said to have medicinal properties. It is only in the Qin Dynasty period that the stiff corpse becomes malevolent and able to move autonomously. So what changed? While Taoist spiritual practices predated the beginning of the Qin period in the 17th century by thousands of years, the new imperial monarchy actively turned away from Taoist tradition in favor of Confucian beliefs. Shifts in religion often lead to conflict between older beliefs and folk traditions. In Taoist tradition, the soul could be split into parts: the Hun soul, which ascended to the afterlife, and the Po soul, which controls bodily functions and is associated with animality. When the Po soul fails to rest, going into the earth, the Shangxi can rise, especially if exposed to a large amount of qi. This is why Shangxi must continuously feed on the qi of the living. According to the original lore of the monster, the body's Po could also be animated by a spell written on a piece of paper that was then attached to their forehead. Taoists use yellow scrolls with power spells written on them to ask the gods for favor. Ritual hand movements or spoken incantations are also a major component of Taoism, and are also said to control Shangxi. Another inspiration for the shift may come from the already rich tradition of Chinese folklore, like the 12th century corpse chase tales, where a reanimated body chases after victims who seek shelter in a temple which houses an unburied coffin. In these corpse chase stories, the undead have long claws and may mimic the living, two things that would become characteristic of the Shangxi. In the 17th century, after the increase in labor migration, it would be more common to see a coffin in a household, and therefore one was more likely to encounter a ghost or reanimated corpse at home. That's another reason for the dark twist on Shangxi stories during this time: the increased presence of unburied corpses in regular households. Various traditional Chinese spiritual practices dictate that treating the deceased well in death aids the souls of the living and the dead. If proper burial rites are not received, the person cannot become an ancestor. For this reason, cremation was considered taboo by many. In fact, during the Qin period, burning a body was a serious illegal crime. It also happens to be one of the surefire ways to destroy a Shangxi. Feng Shui, also known as geomancy, dictates that a body should be buried in proper ancestral ground. Sometimes the family needed to wait for the correct auspicious date to inter the corpse. This meant the funeral process was expensive, especially since more and more people were working in city centers rather than rural towns. But how did families get the bodies of the deceased to where they needed them? Families would hire Taoist priests to transport the corpses of their loved ones great distances. According to the lore, these priests reanimated the corpses, guiding them as they hopped along to their auspicious burial grounds. Called corpse drivers or corpse walkers, they were believed to control the movement of the corpse with a bell, hand signs, or paper amulets. One theory that explains the stiffness of movement that causes the hopping vampire aspect of the Zhangxi is directly inspired by the corpse driving tradition. Narrow mountain roads made transport of bodies via vehicle impossible. Taoist pallbearers would tie the bodies upright to bamboo rods. A corpse would be tied a few feet apart, and the rods would be carried on the shoulders of the pallbearers. The bouncing movement produced as the bamboo rods moved made it look like the bodies were jumping along. Another theory is that the priests carrying corpses on their backs would be hard to see under the folds of the black mourning shroud, making it look like the deceased was walking or hopping. Instead of being just stiff corpses anymore, Changshi became defined by their undead and malicious nature. Two kinds of these creatures emerge. One, the unburied, newly deceased who will suddenly attack people, and two, entombed corpses who do not decay and turn into demons, wandering at night for victims. Both types of Changshi are described in detail in a popular collection of supernatural tales published for the first time in 1788. Written by Wan Mei, the text features over 700 stories, 30 of which include Changshi. They fly, run, talk, hop, drink blood, and terrorize the living. In some of these stories, Changshi movements are limited to mimicking the living. In a way, Changshi promote two things: have children, so you have someone to properly mourn you, and make sure you give your loved ones proper burials in the correct places. Driven by unconscious hunger or led by a malevolent priest, the Changshi is a body controlled, a reality many non-wealthy and non-aristocratic individuals faced during the Qin Dynasty. During the 19th century, Western translations of Chinese supernatural tales became more popular in Europe. Georges Sully de Morant, for instance, took a 17th century story and not only translated it, he kind of rewrote it. The biggest change? The restless or resuscitated corpse became the corpse, the blood drinker. He makes the Changshi more like a vampire, going as far as to add glowing red eyes and sharp teeth. Instead of draining the victim of its qi, she gives a long kiss to suck the victim's blood from their neck. He might have been one of the first to incorrectly conflate the vampire with the Changshi, but he would not be the last. When the Changshi made it into Chinese motion pictures in the early 20th century, other liberties were likewise taken. Midnight Vampire saw the monster hop onto the big screen. In the 1936 movie, two Changshi brothers return to enact revenge on the brother who killed them. It's a deviation from traditional lore, a change that could have been influenced by other Chinese supernatural figures, or as an homage to the successful vampire film Nosferatu, or both. Other films from the 30s, like Vampires of the Haunted Mansion and 3,000-Year-Old Vampire, also merged Western ideas of the vampire with the stiff corpse tradition. But it would be decades later before the modern traits of the Changshi would be established. The Hong Kong vampire film emerged as a popular genre in the 1980s and 1990s. The reanimated corpses in these movies represented a modern confrontation and fascination with ancient funerary practices and shifting cultural views as Hong Kong exited British rule, blending older Changshi folklore with antique Chinese customs and Western concepts of the vampire. Two films in particular, Mr. Vampire and Encounters of the Spooky Kind, are widely cited as establishing the common portrayal of the Changshi in popular culture. In 1980, Encounters of the Spooky Kind was released as a supernatural comedy martial arts film. The bumbling protagonist is made to sleep next to a coffin, which at night reveals a Changshi. Clinging to a ceiling beam in terror, the man watches in horror as the eyeless, fanged, clawed corpse dressed in a traditional Mandarin robe with a black and red velvet cap hops around the room in search of his prey. Released in 1985 and spawning multiple sequels, Mr. Vampire's plot centers around a misguided reburial attempt. It contains not only Changshi, but a Taoist corpse driver and traditional temple. These Changshi likewise appear dressed in Qin Dynasty clothing, including a hat, black robes with an embroidered crest, and striped undergarments. They have fangs, pale skin, and rigid outstretched arms. Oh, and they are controlled by yellow paper amulets attached to their foreheads. These films fall into a subgenre called Wuxia cinema, which is defined by combining comedy, martial arts, and religion in a historic imperial setting. The Changshi in these movies wear traditional clothing, which marks them not only as beings from the past, but denotes their status as ancestors. This ensures that they are not defeated, but put to rest. The rise in Changshi in film closely predates what is called the Handover of 1997, when Hong Kong was finally released from British colonial rule. Hong Kong, like the Changshi, seemed between worlds, ancient and modern, Eastern and Western. Would the colonial culture of Hong Kong metaphorically be put to rest and result in a fantastic rebirth of traditional Chinese cultures? Or would the body of the territory be restless, unable to move on? Post-1997, new national film distribution censorship laws forced directors to take more creative directions in incorporating the now familiar hopping vampire. Overt religious or superstitious content, some Something many films with Shang-Chi contain was banned. Not calling the monster by its proper name was one way to avoid censorship, as was having the Shang-Chi make only a short appearance. What really helped, though? The internet. Many Shang-Chi films are only available via the internet or various streaming services. But those aren't the only places they appeared. By the start of the 21st century, Shang-Chi could be found in video games, on TV, and in manga and anime. They continue to evolve in response to popular trends. The 2013 movie Rigor Mortis, for example, centers the Shang-Chi firmly in a modern setting, the overcrowded urban space. Set in a dilapidated high-rise, the Shang-Chi at the center of the story is the building's caretaker, who in killing his victims adds more ghosts to the already overly populated hallways. This iteration is mindless and malevolent, like its earliest literary predecessors, but it rips its victims into pieces, an added layer of violence. Then there's the vampire cleanup department in 2017. In what might be a nod to other reanimated corpse rom-coms and the popularity of Korean dramas, we get Summer, a young, cute Shang-Chi who learns to live and love again by mimicking the actions of the man who rescued her from her more traditional and terrifying Shang-Chi husband. In 2019, a Shang-Chi made a brief but memorable appearance in the What We Do in the Shadows television series. They even made it to Disney. The 2020 Shang-Chi comic series see the Marvel superhero not only fighting an army of Shang-Chi, he's at risk of becoming one after the disembodied hand of one of the undead corpses stabs him. These Shang-Chi are quick and cunning and must have an unavenged grievance upon death. For many in China, the supernatural and the human occupy the same realm. Portrayed as humorous or horrific, the Shang-Chi show that not all audiences have dismissed supernatural beings in lieu of scientific rationale. Religion, spirituality, and magic have always been a part of Shang-Chi's history and Chinese culture. I have to say that again. Like I said pole, not po. Shang-Chi. 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 The 2020 Shang-Chi comic series see the Marvel super... Oh, I have to go back. Shang-Chi. That's the Shang, not the Chang. Okay.